Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 6. This is the part of the service where we take a few minutes and dig into God's Word. So let's open our Bibles together to Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 11. This is the Apostle Paul saying, "See what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I ask now that over the next few minutes you will speak to us through your word that was inspired by your Spirit. That same Spirit is working in the lives of your people today. I thank you, Lord, for this marvelous passage of Scripture. May it speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's children said, amen. Well, I preach to you this morning in front of a cross. On the outside of our building facing Green Bay Road is a large lit-up cross. That's the universal symbol for Christianity. It's to let everyone know that this is a church. I know of a church in the area that took over a large corporate office and made it their church. It looks absolutely nothing like a church, except for they mounted a giant illuminescent cross to the front of the building. And then we know this is a cross. The cross is the main item of decoration in churches across the globe. Church really needs no greater decoration. Now, there's many ways to make a room beautiful and warm, and I'm for them. But if we were to choose but one item and one item only, on the tops of steeples for the public to see, and it comes all the way down to the necklaces we wear as jewelry of the church members. We wear jewelry because it appears beautiful, familiar, meaningful, a symbol of love, joy, forgiveness, and salvation. The cross is very familiar to us. It's a wonderful, comforting thing. But when you stop and think about it, it's kind of funny because nobody wears a guillotine around their neck. Nobody I know of mounts an electric chair to the wall for decoration. Yet we put up the most gruesome, excruciating, horrific, humiliating form of execution ever known to mankind. The cross should be a symbol of shame, but it has become the exact opposite of that shame because of one man. Crucifixion was originally invented by the Persians, who devised a way to kill a person in a long, drawn-out, torturous process. It was adopted and perfected by the Romans, who killed so many thousands of people that it became almost infamous and expected by the Romans. It was an excruciating tool, a humiliating process. The idea was to shame a person for the whole public to see it. Here he is, on full display. He deserves what he's getting. Bare naked, dripping with blood, screaming in pain, and suffocating. And the criminals would stay there until they were tortured to death. The cross was designed to torture and lead to death. But praise God, one cross was designed to end torture and death forever. Namely, the cross of Jesus Christ. So this is the cross we this is the cross we decorate with. Not just any old cross. Not just the form of execution, but the cross. Boast in it, and we're reminded of the absolute and total freedom from sin and death because of the cross of Christ. It is the symbol of our freedom, the symbol of our forgiveness, the symbol of deliverance, the universal symbol for Christianity. The shame that Jesus publicly endured prevents us from being shamed in the end. The Bible says anyone who trusts in the Lord will not be put to shame. That's good news. We sing about the cross. We sing about it. Songs like "The Old Rugged Cross," "At the Cross," "Lead Me to the Cross," "The Wonderful Cross," "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." We sing about the cross because it's very familiar to us and near and dear to our hearts. So we sing about it, and we also see it. We see it. Something happens to us when we see a cross, and it can provide a transcendent experience. Artemis II commander Reed Wiseman, who went on the recent lunar mission, their lunar vehicle touched down in the Pacific Ocean, and he was so taken by what he had seen in outer space that he just asked to see a chaplain. And I quote, "I am not a religious person," but he asked to see a chaplain, and there on his collar was a cross. And immediately he was taken to tears and wept right on the spot of seeing a cross. He saw the cross and immediately broke down. Just seeing the cross can do something and move you deeply. So think about it. Reed Wiseman, a lunar commander, a strong, smart, fit, well-accomplished man who just went on the mission of his lifetime, saw the cross of Christ in a brand new way. And I say, of course he did. Of course he did. Why? Because he just had a front row view to the universal language that the heavens are declaring in all their beauty and splendor, the glory and greatness and majesty of God Almighty. No matter what language you speak, that language is the same, and God gave it for mankind. So he was ripe for a cross experience. Absolutely amazing. And I pray that that man trusts in the man, the God-man, who hung on that cross. Wow. So we see the cross. How about this? Have you ever been on a road trip way out on the interstate in the middle of nowhere, somewhere perhaps you've never been before, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, boom, a cross, a giant cross that you see? I don't know about you guys, but when I see that in a different county or state than I'm from, oh, thank you, Lord. Someone had the courage and the money and the wherewithal and the guts to mount that cross. Just seeing it can move you. Unfortunately, many crosses are taken out of public view. In 2016, the communist China took down over 1,500 crosses from public view, and they said it was for reasons of safety and beauty. Later, they actually admitted it was because some of the crosses were mounted higher than the Chinese national flag. Now, I don't mean to pick on China per se, because that's happening everywhere. The cross is an affront. It is offensive. It is not as accepted as it once was. But I'm thankful to see the cross in public places, and I'm thankful that we have a cross on the outside of our building. So, does it bring you a sense? Does it lead you to grateful worship, admiration of the fellow who had the courage to put it there? We sing about the cross. We see the cross. We resonate with the cross as Christians. In leading to our text this morning, we ought to boast in the cross and in the cross alone. The Apostle Paul, in one of his most passionate statements, says in Galatians 6:14, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Wow, what an amazing verse. What an amazing verse. A little bit of context here. The church in Galatia struggled with legalism because they were being pressured by false teachers known as Judaizers to do more for their faith than trust in Christ alone. And they were pressured into things like in the Jewish ceremonial laws, specifically circumcision and dietary rules. Basically, the cross was not enough for them. They had to do something else. This, of course, was wrong, and the Apostle Paul wrote a Spirit-inspired, sharp, fiery letter to the church in Galatia to correct this error. Believers in the church were pressured to following external rituals in order to earn righteousness. And he says in verse 13 that the people pressuring would look better for doing this because they could boast in your flesh, verse 13. It looked good for them for you to do this. Verse 12, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross. They put the emphasis on the flesh, so they wouldn't be persecuted for the cross. There we go. X marks the spot. They wanted to make nothing of the cross. They wanted to make the cross as little as possible. Make it small. Get it out of the way. The cross is not the key to Christianity. The cross is not enough for your salvation, they said. Ooh, but Paul, not if I have something to say about it. I can just imagine how passionate Paul was, right? And he wrote it with his own pen. Verse 11, "See what large letters I'm writing to you in my own hand." He didn't write quite like the scribes did, that the professional writers, those who maybe had better eyesight than him. We're not sure. But he wrote it in his own hand. "Far be it from me to boast in anything except the cross of Christ." The first century church was being pressured to seek more, do more, and put validation in other things than the cross for their salvation. And this is a strong contrast to what was being pushed in the church in Galatia. Paul was passionate, and I love his passionate statements. The cross is unique to Christianity. Substitutionary atonement, totally unique to Christianity. A resurrected Savior, totally unique to Christianity. There is no one who ever walked the face of this earth who lived quite like Jesus, who did what he did, who taught what he taught, who forgave like he forgave, and who died on a cross. And 3 days later, praise God, the cross is empty, and he rose, and he's not on the cross anymore. In order for the cross to take its proper place in our lives, we must do what the Apostle Paul said and crucify the world. Paul does not care about worldly things or human pride. He gives all the glory to Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. When I was young, I loved the verse Galatians 6:14. I loved it. And I thank John Piper for that. He really spoke to a group of college and adolescent students in the early, mid-2000s and really started a revolution And I heard that message, don't waste your life. And I loved the Galatians 6:14. But I honestly never could quite, as a young teenager, put my finger on verse 14b, which says, which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So let's try to tackle that for a moment. If you could turn back a couple pages to Galatians chapter 2. And verse 20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a marvelous verse. I have been crucified with Christ. We can say that. I join in his crucifixion in a sense that the old me is gone. It's dead. Sayonara. The new me has come. The old ways are done of seeking after the things of the world and its passions and its desires and its achievements. I'm now with Christ. Christ is in me. My life is hidden in him. He is my portion forever. It's all about Jesus now. It's all about faith. We see that. Faith, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. How is your faith doing today? Without faith, Scripture says, it's impossible to please God. So, Paul is saying, I don't trust in the world. I don't look to the world as a savior. I don't care so much about what the world says to care about. I look to Christ. The world is dead to me. So this has strong implications for us here in Wisconsin in 2026, just as much as it did in the church in Galatia in the first century. Apply, and we ought to be, as Christians, very careful what we boast in. Be very careful what you boast in. Our culture today puts a tremendous amount of value in things like earning loads of money, gaining power and prestige, being able to influence others, having to follow the latest trends. And I mean, having to follow. You're almost a slave to the latest trends. If I'm not with the latest, greatest, oh, having to look like the, have the latest, greatest stuff, having to look, walk, talk, dress, smell, behave, and do exactly what the world says. And I say, no, you don't, loved ones. You don't. Now, of course, we're here on earth. Of course, we probably, many of us shop at the same clothing stores and go to the same grocery store. I'm good with all that. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We're resident aliens just passing through here for a very short time. And we're here, we're kingdom-minded, right? Remember last week? We need to think about the kingdom and the king and his righteousness. That's what the cross can do for me. I love in Philippians 3, Paul says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered a loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. We start to see a pattern here in Paul's writings. But far be it for me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. As for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, upon the Israel of God. Wow. Wow. Is there anything you are boasting in for your salvation, for your validation, for your identity, for your significance? Is there anything you find yourself boasting in other than the cross of Christ? Is there any form of identity you're seeking beyond Christ himself? Is Christ enough for you? Is the cross enough? I want to encourage you to put your full worth, your full value, your full salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't let that become old news. Don't let that become yesterday's boasting. You are a new creation. You are a brand new creation. Can you say to yourself, I've been crucified with Christ. I am dead. There's a brand new me. And my life is a life of faith in the Son of God. So, you are a brand new person who looks to Christ for salvation. And what's really cool is, even as we age and the years go by, the pages on the calendar turn, and we experience more things, and we have more tears in our jeans and dents in our fenders and aches and pains and worries and sorrows, as all that happens, is new. We were made new at the point of justification, being saved. We are being made new right now in our sanctification, our process of walking and growing with Christ. And one day when Christ returns or he calls us home, we will be made new in our glorification. So it's a past, a present, and a future ordeal. And God is still working on you. And I say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And my wife can say, thank the Lord. He's still working on me. All glory to God, all faith in God, all boasting to God. That is not just a fantastic way to live your life. That is the only way to live your life. And there you will find the most happiness, satisfaction, purpose, identity, freedom, and fulfillment in this life. I encourage you all, please examine your life, your habits, your desires, your plans, your aspirations. Are you boasting in the cross? Or are you boasting in something else? You can't do both. You can't do both. You have to choose one. Choose Christ today. Well, sorry, Internet, I'm going to mute my microphone because I would like, for my last sermon here, I'd like us to sing an a cappella song together. Is that cool with you guys? We're going to sing, and you can just stay seated. Let's all sing together. I've decided to follow Jesus.